You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift, learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. We've been doing a series on confessing your sins. It is vital for any young man listening to this show to confess his sins. And I've been suggesting that the number one reason why most young men don't have more of a fire for God, more of a heart to be a bold witness for Him, more of a desire to just maybe even go into the ministry, is because they have ongoing unconfessed sin in their life. And so we've been looking together in Psalm 32 to learn about David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba. He hid it for about a year. Finally, Nathan the prophet confronted him and said, "David, you are the man." And in that moment, David confessed his sin to God. He confessed his sin to Nathan, and he confessed his sin to all of us as he wrote Psalm 32. Initially, he wrote Psalm 51, where he says, "Take not your spirit from me and create in me a clean heart, O God." You remember that one? And then he writes Psalm 32, and this is really a psalm of confession. And so we've been looking at six different aspects to confession to help us learn to confess our sins. And so number one was rejoice that your sins are forgiven. That's how David starts off the psalm, how blessed he is that his sins are forgiven and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then we talked about how David moved on to number two. The second key to confession was he remembered the pain of his unconfessed sin. In verses 3 and 4, day and night, he talked about how God's hand was heavy upon him. He couldn't rest. His bones were broken. He's groaning all the day long. That's what it's like when we're not confessing our sin. Last time we looked at respond to God's work in your life. Listen. When God's hand is heavy upon you, that's the time to confess your sin. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another day. Get right with God and come clean. We talked about be sure that your sins will find you out. But the good news I have for you, young man, is that if you confess your sins to God, He will forgive you and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And this really leads us to now our fourth key to spiritual revival that has to do with confession. Rest in God's protection and deliverance. And what we really see in verses 6 and 7 is an urgency that we would act right away. I mean, listen to what David says after he says he confessed his sins and God forgave him his iniquity. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found." So what he's saying here, at a time when you may be found, he's saying basically, this is urgent. Go to him right away. Go to him while he might be found. Like it's almost hinting at there might be a time when God's not found. Now, I mean, that's not actually true. God's always there, but there's times when God is pressing upon us the urgency of confession. And we want to confess that. We don't want to fall into the category of Esau. Do you remember what happened to Esau? Hebrews chapter 11, a great chapter about the hall of faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, check this out, verses 14 through 17, the writer of Hebrews says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." So he's saying, strive for peace, strive for holiness. Without it, you can't see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And then he says this, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. I mean, man, that passage really scares me because I'm just reminded that sometimes we sin and we feel the need to confess, and we do, and we move on when God forgives us. And there's other times we just hold on to it. David held on to his sin for a year. Esau apparently also held on to his sin. You know, he had committed a sin by selling his birthright for a single meal to his brother Jacob, and that was not something that was to be done. And so afterward, it says that he desired the blessing that God would give, but he was rejected. Now, it does say earlier that he was sexually immoral and unholy, but it says here that when he desired to confess his sin, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. That ought to scare us, right? It ought to scare us into repenting, that we don't know if there's always that same type of conviction pressed against our soul like there is when God is calling you to repent. And so we need to understand it's an important thing that we don't become hardened, that we don't fall into bitterness, that we don't become, have our conscience seared. I mean, one author writes on this subject, he says, sow a thought, reap an act, sow an act, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, reap a destiny. In other words, a little thought can lead to a habit, can lead to an evil character, which could lead to hell. You know, so evil thoughts are really the foundation to this process. Evil thoughts are the groundwork for all other sins. And so again, Psalm 32, we're reading about the urgency of David's confession. And not only is there an urgency, but there's also safety when we do confess. I mean, again, David says, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. What's that talking about? Well, the rush of great waters is really discussing waters of disaster. You know, there's washed out riverbeds in Israel. They're called wadis. And so they only are used during the heavy rainfall during the spring of the year. And all of a sudden, those washed out riverbeds can become places of danger where the water rushes down off the mountains and it can be very dangerous. If you were in that area, you could drown. You know, you could be driven down the river and caught in a dangerous place. And so what he's saying here is that when you confess your sins to God, you will not face danger, the rush of great waters. They will not reach you. Why? Because you'll be forgiven. And when you're forgiven, verse 7 says, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. So again, the idea is this idea of that God's always there, but there are special seasons when God is speaking through his word directly at you about something you've done. You know, this is the feeling you may have when you're away at camp or you're at a conference or you're just kind of reading the scripture and God's speaking to you. And here we're reading about the importance that David's sharing here, the importance of resting in God's protection and in his deliverance. We're looking at resting in God's protection and in God's deliverance. And so we understand here that there's an importance that David is got to find permanent forgiveness, and he can only find that by confessing his sin. That's where he writes here in verse 7. David says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Now, I love that verse 7 because he's saying that as you are confessing your sin, then you're actually preserved by the goodness and the mercy of God. Remember, the wadis, the riverbeds, the rushing water will not overtake you, that you find safety in God. Now, the deliverance here, again, remember, this is a song that David is singing over and over again. So we understand that confession is a way of life, and every day we can experience this. Every day we should enjoy the blessings of forgiveness, and that permanency is provided by God in the sense where he says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. So here's my question. Who is David hiding from? Is David hiding from the devil? Is David hiding from the evil one? Is David hiding from the world? Is David hiding from a guilty conscience? My answer to all of those questions would be no. David is hiding from God. Get this. David is hiding from God in God. David says, you are a hiding place for me. So in other words, he's saying, I'm hiding from you in you. I'm hiding from your wrath in your mercy. I've been delivered from your heavy hand, verse 4, and now I'm finding my hiding place in your presence. It's in God's presence where we find protection and fullness of joy. And so if you're here today and you're listening to this show and you're struggling with the guilt of unconfessed sin, get this, the only rest that you can find from God is in God. So I'm pleading with you today that you come to God this very day and that you come acknowledge your sin to Him and that you rush to Him today, that you find that He is a hiding place for you today, that God will surround you with shouts of deliverance today. And when you find your rest from God, in God, then you know that you're truly forgiven, and then you're able to sing about your forgiveness. You're able to share your story, your testimony, just as David did with others. And so I love this fourth point here, that we have found that we can rest in God's protection and deliverance. Now, don't go away, because we're going to be right back, and I'm going to share with you the final two keys in confessing our sins to God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. And you know, as we listen to Dr. Tyson and as he breaks down Psalm 32, it kind of reminds me of how much we need to hear truth like this in a world that's gone absolutely crazy. But let's be honest, how often do we get stuck in the same old patterns of sin because we're not listening to godly counsel or taking our sins seriously? That happens to all of us. And that's why I want to tell you about a resource from the Fortis Store for parents. Well, actually, it's not just for moms and dads. It's actually for anyone looking to realign their hearts and homes with God's Word. I'm talking about Reset for Parents, and it's written by Todd Friel. It's going to help you think through practical ways to create a gospel-centered environment in your life and in your family. And so you can be a godly influence in a culture that desperately needs truth. Go check out FortisInstitute.org right now and pick up Reset for Parents by Todd Friel. And while we're on the subject of equipping yourself, if you've got someone in your life who might be a high school senior looking at where they're going to go to college next year, have you thought about the Master's University? TMU is all about teaching truth and equipping young men and women to live boldly for Christ. And so whether you're called to ministry, business, or science, TMU will challenge you to think biblically about every area of life. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. And speaking of stepping up, are you a Fortis Insider just yet? If you're not, you are sorely missing out, because this is where the action happens. Exclusive content, behind the scenes updates. You're the first to know about all of our sales and special filmings and all types of stuff that happens. If you're a Fortis Insider, you know before anyone else. That's why it's called being an insider. And you're not just consuming content as an insider. You're part of the mission. You can sign up right now, absolutely free of charge, at FortisInstitute.org. And listen, none of this happens without gospel partners just like you. When you partner with us here at Fortis Institute, you're not just keeping a show on the air, you're helping us reach men across the globe with the truth of God's Word. So would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? It's easy, it's impactful, and it makes an eternal difference. Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now, FortisInstitute.org. You can find out all of the answers to all of the questions that I know you have about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. FortisInstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to talk about confession. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we've been doing a series on confessing our sins to God. We've been looking at Psalm 32, doing a deep dive, learning how David confessed his sin after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And as we get now to the last few verses of this chapter, we're seeing our fifth way that you can have a clear conscience and therefore have a fire for God like you've never had before. It all comes through confession. And number five here, I want to give you our fifth truth would be run to God's counsel and trust in his word. And I'm getting this from verse 8, where it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So listen, if you're struggling with ongoing sin in your life, it could be that you haven't truly confessed your sin. And because you haven't confessed your sin, you're struggling in your walk with God. You're running to a way of escape. You're looking at TV. You're running to friends. You're trying to fill your mind with anything except what it is that God's saying to you. And let me encourage you today, go to God. Go receive godly counsel, maybe even from your pastor, from your youth pastor, from an elder, from your mentor, because that's what David's trying to offer here. He's saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. David is, in a sense, saying, learn from me. I went down this path and it was a horrible path of disaster. And yet now he's confessed his sin and he says, I want to teach you in the way. That word way is the path. He's teaching us the way of God versus the way of guilt, that this is the way that we should go. And as we go down this right way, the way of confession, that we can experience God's goodness. And in that we can receive counsel from God's word with God's eye upon us, that God's looking for us to go in the right way. And so not only are we to run to godly counsel and trust in his word here, and we do that by listening to good counsel, but we also do that, verse 9, by not being stupid. Look at verse 9. It says, be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. David's saying in verse 9, you don't want to be like this. You don't want to be like a wild horse that keeps bucking or a stubborn mule that won't move. You want to instead come to God. You want to let him help you find your joy by confessing your sin to him. And that's what this psalm is all about. It's about confessing our sins to God. And it's saying that you don't need to be like the horse or the mule that have no understanding. In other words, they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They're not being wise. I love John Owen, another Puritan who writes a lot about the idea of the mortification of sin. And John Owen has written, quote, believers who are assuredly freed from the condemning power of sin ought yet to make it their business all their days to mortify the indwelling power of sin. And one of the ways to mortify the indwelling power of sin is by confessing it, because sin is bad and it's got to be dealt with. Sin is like the poison of a mamba snake. It is exceedingly deadly. Sin kills. Every sin, if permitted to becoming domineering in its demands, and every lust will aim at its maximum expression. Sin is like the devil, its originator. It is limitless for its capacity for evil. John Owen discusses sin this way. He writes, quote, sin aims always at the utmost, every time it rises up to tempt or entice. If it had its own way, it will go out to the utmost sin in that kind. Every unclean thought or glance would be adultery if it could be. Every thought or unbelief would be atheism if allowed to develop. Every rise of lust, if it had its way, reaches the height of villainy. It is like the grave that is never satisfied. The deceitfulness of sin is seen in that it is modest at its first proposal, but when it prevails, it hardens men's hearts and brings them to ruin. Close quote. Now, what he's saying again is sin is really bad and it's really deceptive. And we think that we can get by with it, but you can't. It will bring you to ruin. And that's exactly why Owen says, be always killing sin or sin will be killing you. So let me ask you, young man, how are you doing? Are you killing sin in your life? Are you learning to set your mind on things above where Christ is and not on things that are below? Because if you're doing that, then you're going to experience the joy of forgiveness. And you need to be listening to godly counsel. Don't be stupid like the horse or the mule who won't come forward, but come confess your sin. And then you will, verse 10, you will experience God's unfailing love. Because here's what David writes next in verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. When you confess your sin, you experience God's hesed love. That's the word for loving kindness. It's the word translated here in the ESV as his steadfast love. Listen, God's made a covenant with you. Verse 9 here says, many are the sorrows of the wicked. That's what we've been studying for the last few shows, how dreadful sin is. It leads to a lot of sorrow and a lot of heartache. But when we confess our sins and we receive forgiveness from the Lord, then that steadfast love of God, it surrounds us. It frees us. And so we have to believe and trust in God's counsel. And this leads us to our sixth and final key to confession is this. Number 6, rejuvenate your soul in the Lord. And David kind of ends the psalm in the way he starts. He says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And so this is the ending of the psalm. David has been singing about it. He's rejoicing. He's realizing how blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven. So he's shouting for joy. Listen to me, a lot of men, they don't really shout for joy in the gospel. Why? Because men are stoic. And I think that a lot of men have a lot of unconfessed sin that they've been covering up. They've been hiding. And so when they sing or when they are having their quiet time, they're not expressive about their joy in the Lord because their conscience is always convicting them. If you can't shout for joy, then maybe there's something wrong in your life. I mean, when you taste the forgiveness of God, then I believe then you can be glad in the Lord, rejoice and shout for joy, all of you who are upright in heart. Is that you today? Don't hide your sin. Confess it. Find your joy in living an upright life, made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. You have much to rejoice in if you'll confess your sins today. And confession really is the key to keeping a clear conscience. And there have been a lot of revivals, actually, in church history who've been started in just this way. In fact, confession was certainly the catalyst to the Welsh revival of 1904. 1904, God used a young man to do a work in Wales that will never be forgotten. At age 26 years old, Evan Roberts awoke in his sleep one night and was led into a deep communion with God. And this experience continued every night for the next few months. Evan would pray regularly, "Bend me, O Lord." And as God began to fill Evan with his word and with the Holy Spirit, Evan preached a message to his home youth group, which lit a spiritual spark of no equal at that time. So again, Evan was confessing his sin. He was speaking to youth groups in his area, and his message can be summed up in 4 points. Number 1, confess all known sin. Number 2, deal with and get rid of anything doubtful in your life. Number 3, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit and God's word instantly. And number 4, confess Christ publicly. This was Evan's message, and you know what happened? By the end of the week, 60 people had responded. And by the end of the second week of this revival, Evan was invited to preach this message all over town. And within a year or so, 100,000 converts were recorded as saying they were added to the church as they had experienced God's forgiveness during this revival. How did it start? It started with confession. And if you have sin in your life today that you've not dealt with, deal with it today. Come to Christ and He will have mercy on you. This is Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You know what this verse is saying? What you cover, God will uncover. But what you uncover, God will cover. In other words, what you cover up, what you try to hide, God's going to uncover that. But what you uncover by confessing, God will cover it with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that you will never see confession as a burden, but as a blessing and as the key to keeping a clear conscience and having true revival and a love for the Lord in your heart and life like never before. Maybe there's something you need to confess today. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to study Psalm 32. Now pray for the young men that are listening at this very moment, that they might be pricked in their conscience to confess their sins to God, and that you would grant them repentance, forgiveness, cleansing, and then they might be able to rejoice and to sing and shout even for joy today in the fact that their sins have been forgiven. Do a special work in the heart of each listener today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.